May you have your seats. The title of today's sermon is Do You See What I See? And some of you guys may know, this phrasing comes from a song that we usually sing during the Christmas time. And so anytime you hear this song, I hope that you guys can remember this sermon. All right? We're going to turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. It's a short passage today. We've been going through the book of Matthew for a number of months now. And we've come to the portion where Jesus was, two chapters about Jesus' miracles. And the miracles were divided up into three sections. And within each section, there were about three miracles that happened. Now, we come to the end of this section where Jesus has performed all of these miracles. And now Jesus is going to have a conversation with his disciples about how to think about all this stuff. All right? And so we come to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Trusting that you guys have found it. We're going to read through it. This is the reading of God's Word. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." This was the reading of God's word. Amen. Now, as we think about how last week we're talking about spreading his fame, spreading the fame of Jesus, and we want to do it in the right way. We want to make sure that we're spreading the correct idea of who Jesus is. Now, as we're thinking about this idea, we come to today's passage where Jesus is saying, now look at what's going on in the world around us. And we want to continue to spread his fame. But as we think about it, we think, you know, like, I want to do that. But sometimes it can be difficult. For some of us, we think about, I do want to be a part of what God is doing. But sometimes I don't really feel that motivation. And so there's this process to be involved in what God is doing. There's this process of being involved in his work. And so, number one, it takes for us to see what his work is. We have to see and understand what God is doing. Secondly, we need to feel, or the idea is be motivated. Be motivated to be a part of what God is doing. And the third thing is that there will be some kind of action that follows. If we know what God is doing and we're motivated to do it, then there will be action that follows. And so if we think about it, if we're missing any one of these, then it'll be very, very difficult for us to be involved in spreading his fame. So the main idea is simple today. We need to see, we need to feel, and that's the idea of motivation. And we need to, well, in today's passage, it's not about doing, but it's about praying. All right? So see, feel, and pray. These are our three main ideas today. All right? So let's talk about seeing. Before we go into, like, diving into this passage or diving into this idea of seeing, we want to start off by looking at verse 35. And it's really interesting because if you would remember, and probably not, and that's okay. But if you could maybe turn your Bibles back to Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, or how about this? I'll turn back to Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, and I'll read it for you guys as you look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. All right? This is what it says in Matthew 4. You guys could be looking at Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. This is what it says in 4, verse 23. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Okay, if you compared it with me, Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 are almost exactly the same. And if you look at the original language in the Greek, you'll find that it's almost exactly the same. The main idea is the same. In one verse, it talks about, and he, in another verse, it mentions explicitly that it's Jesus, right? And just besides these little differences, it's almost exactly the same. And so what's going on here? The idea is that perhaps that Jesus is talking about, or the book of Matthew is trying to give us a picture of, this is what Jesus has been doing. And this is what Jesus did. And this is what Jesus is accomplishing. And then this is a summary of what Jesus was doing. And then he goes into, in chapter 4, after chapter 4, he goes into chapter 5 where Jesus is proclaiming about the kingdom, and he goes into the Sermon on the Mount. And then it talks about how he was healing every disease. And in chapters 8 and 9, it talks about how he's doing the healing, right? And so then in Matthew chapter 4, verse 24, the very next verse, it talks about, so his fame spread throughout all Syria. So there is this idea of what Jesus was doing, proclaiming the kingdom, healing every kind of disease and affliction, and then his fame spread. And so the question is, how did his fame spread? Well, again, last week we were talking about how some people went out and were spreading his fame. But it talks about how his fame was spreading throughout all that area. And not just that area, but all throughout Israel. And the question is, how did this happen? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today and in the next coming weeks. Because what's really interesting is that in chapter 10, the very next chapter, Jesus not only does the work himself of proclaiming the kingdom and healing every disease, but in chapter 10, he actually sends out his disciples to do the same. And so the gospel of the kingdom is spreading all around, not just through Jesus, but even through his disciples. So then, how do you do this? Well, like we said before, we need to know what we're doing. We need to see what Jesus is doing. And we need to have that motivation. We need to understand, like, why we're doing this and really feel the reason, like really feel like we want to be doing this. And so, how does Jesus set this up? Well, the first thing is that he sees himself. In verse 36, it says this, chapter 9, verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. All right, so Jesus, he sees the crowds. Right? Remember, what we were just talking about was he was healing all these different people and they were bringing more people to be healed. And he sees these people, and then as he sees them, he not only sees them like what's going on the outside, but he sees what's going on the inside of their hearts. And he sees them, and then he has a reaction, a response. And what was that response? The response was a compassionate response. So he was seeing, and then he was having that feeling, that motivational aspect. Well, let's talk about this idea of this compassion. This compassion is not the kind of compassion where you just go somewhere and you see how they're suffering and you're like, oh, that's too bad for them. Well, I'm okay. So, oh well. There are some people that I've seen in the past where they would go on a mission trip, and I know because I would lead them, and they would go to some place where the people are struggling and suffering, and they don't have enough food to eat. And then the response that some of these people have, we used to call them mission trainees. We're teaching them, you're not missionaries yet, but we want to teach you what missionaries go through. And so we call them mission trainees. And some of their responses were, wow, these people are so poor. It's so sad. I'm just so thankful that God has given me so many things and I don't have to live like this. And then they leave that place and they don't really think about those people anymore. So in that moment, what they're experiencing perhaps is this sense of pity and thinking about how those people were suffering, but then without any desire to go and help them, without ever having a desire to think like, maybe God is calling me to come here and serve these people. And this was a response, not of everyone, but of some of the people. The idea is compassion that Jesus was experiencing. The idea is compassion, not that kind of just feeling sorry for other people. Now, what is this compassion about? Well, the idea of compassion for, especially for the people back then, was this deep inner emotional feeling. It's like this movement of the bowels, you know, movement of your stomach, right? That's how they describe like deep inner emotions. And that's what Jesus was experiencing. And he experienced this because he looked at the people and what he saw was that they were harassed and helpless. And the idea here, if you were to look at what the original language was that this idea is like seeing an animal that was attacked by some type of predator and all bloodied up and then just lying on the ground, helpless, not able to move, and no one there to help them. So what Jesus was seeing was all these people that were harassed and helpless. People, not just because that they were hurt on the outside, not just because they were physically sick or in pain, but he was looking at their hearts, and he was looking at what's going on inside of them, and it seemed like what Jesus saw was that they, people, were in pain, perhaps struggling, trying to understand what's going on in this world. Why did these things happen to me? And then there were these teachers of the law that were coming and they were saying, you know, you're in this kind of situation because you're not religious like we are. And they were being misled and they were being beat up. And then they were just lying there, left to die on their own. And that's what Jesus saw. You know, the kind of idea is there are all these people all around the world. This is perhaps our own experience. All around the world, people are looking for the answer of what is the meaning to life? Or why do these evil things happen to me? Why do difficult circumstances come up in my life? And people are trying to find some way to understand all of these things. And we hear different kinds of teachings. The way that you can be happy is if you do these things. If you believe in this religion, it will bring you peace. And we hear all of these different kinds of teachings that tell us this is how you are supposed to make sense of life. The reason why you're going through these things is because blah, 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 blah. But we still get battered. We still are not understanding. We're still confused. We try out that religion. We try out even Christianity with what our understanding of Christianity is. And maybe some of us, we say, you know, I've tried Christianity, or I'm trying Christianity, but God is not blessing me. I don't understand it. Or if God really cares about me, then why am I going through these difficult times? All of us perhaps have gone through something like this, where we're trying to understand life. And what Jesus saw was this very thing. He saw people trying to figure things out, receiving the wrong kinds of teachings, and being harassed and helpless. People were being harassed, left to die. And so he had compassion. Perhaps if we were to see what Jesus saw, perhaps as we're walking around daily, maybe driving. You know, one of the most interesting things is if you go to one of those overpasses over streets, in Chinese I think it's called Tianqiao, these overpasses over the streets, and you go up there and you look down on the street and you see people driving by, right? And you see them in their own little world. Every single person that's driving is thinking, you know, nobody sees what I'm doing, nobody hears what I'm saying. But when you go up there and you see these different people, you see people passing by, sometimes they're talking with their friend and having a good time, sometimes they're just singing out loud, sometimes people are like having an argument, right? But just imagine, you go out and you look at all of these people passing by, and if you were to put on your spiritual goggles to see what Jesus saw, what we might see is something similar to what Jesus saw. People that are harassed and helpless. And perhaps some people, as you're walking by them, imagine this with me. Someone's walking by you, and if you were to put on your spiritual goggles, perhaps their soul is crying out as you're passing by them. I'm trying to understand this life. Isn't there anyone that's going to share with me something that sounds a little bit like it's true? You're passing by me. Do you know what's true? Do you know what the truth is? Do you have anything to tell me? I want to know the truth. I need to know the truth. Every person that passes by, if you could see their soul, if you could see what Jesus sees, perhaps there are people all around us that are crying out, I want to know the truth. And Jesus saw this. And he had that deep emotional compassion. Not only that, in verse 37, after Jesus saw it and he had that compassion, he wanted his disciples to see it. And so then in verse 37, he turns to his disciples and it says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. What is this talking about? Basically, if you look at what this idea is and you look at it in other places of the Bible, Jesus is basically saying, look, we are bringing the kingdom. I am bringing the kingdom to the people. I'm proclaiming that the kingdom is at hand. And the harvest is plentiful. The field out there, there's a lot of crop out there that needs to be harvested and brought in. There's a lot of people that need to be gathered and brought into the kingdom. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers, the laborers, are few. Now, this idea of the harvest is really interesting. I don't know anything about farming. I have to admit that to you. I don't know anything about farming. I don't know anything about gardening. All of my plants die. If you come into my office, there's a flower that's in there, and it's dead. It just has branches right now. I know nothing about farming. But I read a couple of websites this past week as I was preparing for this sermon. Farming websites. And English ones, because that's the one that I could read most quickly. So I read a farming website from America, and I read a farming website from Australia. And basically what they said was that the harvest time is a very important time. And you have a limited amount of time. Because if you don't hurry up and bring all the harvest in, then they're either going to spoil, or rain is going to come and ruin the crop. It's going to ruin it so that it gets soggy and you're not able to harvest it when it's soggy, because there's something about you need to have it dry enough so that it cuts easily, or something like that. I'm not an expert in farming. It gets ruined. It could get stolen by other people, or animals can come and start to take your crop. We'll start to eat of it. And so that time is limited. I think one website said there was about like 15 days. And so these farmers are feeling this urgency. There's this urgency of, like, we need to move quickly. And so, like, for farmers, they have to get all of their children involved. And that's actually similar to the old Jewish way. The way was, you have to get all of your family involved, and it's not an option. Every single family member needs to be involved in bringing the harvest in. Or, because it's such an urgent matter. You hire workers to come in and do all the work for you. And some of these workers might be lazy. They might not gather that much. But you need the help because you have so much that you need to bring in quickly in that limited amount of time. And there's even a website that says, when you're harvesting, be careful of these things because there's some statistic out there that talks about how farmers get hurt during the harvest time because they're trying so hard to get all the harvest in that short amount of time. So when Jesus says that the harvest is plentiful, what he's saying is that this is an urgent matter. Now, let's apply that to what we're going through here in our day. It is an urgent matter. Time is limited. If we think about all the people that are in our lives, our coworkers, our family members, our parents, our children, the people, the neighbors that we live next to, we don't have a lot of time with them. The time is not for eternity. The time is limited. And our time with these people will come to an end pretty soon. Some of you that we've come to love and care about much are leaving this next week or in the next few weeks. Our time with you is coming to an end. And this time that we have to be together with the people that are our neighbors, that are our coworkers, these people that like our children, our parents, the time is limited. And there is a harvest time. And we need to take advantage of this time. Let me put it into actual numbers. As we think about how our church can be involved in this kingdom work, let's think about some of the numbers. We are an English-speaking church, and so it's hard for us at times to invite people that are not able to speak English. But we are an English-speaking church, and we're hoping to reach the foreigners that are here. In Taipei City and New Taipei City, there are 180,000 foreigners. 180,000 foreigners. Okay, if we were to just take that number and we think there are 100 churches, there aren't that many churches, 100 churches that speak English that could reach out to these foreigners, right? And we divide up 180,000 into 100 churches. How many would each church have? A lot. You guys could do the math, right? There are 180,000 foreigners, but let me break it down a little bit. 70,000 of those foreigners are Indonesians, most of whom are Muslims, right? But here's another thing. Every year, about 40,000 foreigners come into Taiwan, and every year, about 40,000 foreigners leave Taiwan. And specifically in Taipei City, it's 10,000 people that come in every year and leave every year. That's a lot of foreigners that come through Taipei City. If you add in New Taipei City, the total comes to 20,000. 20,000 people that we could be reaching. They come, and the time is limited, and they leave. But during that time, we have an opportunity. The harvest is plentiful. The time is limited. We have a work to do. And so Jesus saw. He had compassion. He told his disciples, the time is limited, but the laborers are few. So what does he tell them to do? The last verse, verse 38. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The action step for today that Jesus is calling us to is to pray. To pray for workers, laborers. The kind of people. Like, if you're going to go out to labor to bring in the harvest, it's going to be difficult. Right? There was a website that talks about how people might get hurt. When we go out as laborers, we might get hurt by other people. We might get rejected. There might be times that people don't want to listen. It's going to be difficult because it might require us to sacrifice our time. It might require us to sacrifice our financial resources. But that's why Jesus says, yes, it is a work. It's difficult, but pray that God would send workers, laborers, into his harvest because the work is needed and it's an urgent work. Now, I want to ask you guys. We talked about see what Jesus sees. But I want to talk about this idea of feeling now, this motivation. Like when you hear all this stuff about how Jesus sees all of this, and we're thinking about, you know, if we were to put on our spiritual goggles and see the people passing by and they're crying out, and they're like people that are harassed and helpless. As we think about all these things, my question to all of us here is, how do you feel? Like, how are you taking this in? How are you responding in your heart or in your mind to what Jesus is saying here, to what the book of Matthew is saying here? How do you respond to it? Maybe for some of us, we're like, oh man, yes, the work is urgent. Wow, there is this need out there. Man, I am feeling this compassion. I want to go out and just share with everyone. Maybe some of us are feeling that. And maybe on the other side, some of us are feeling like, oh man, I don't know if I have that compassion. Do I? Like, if I were to be honest with myself, do I really care about the people out there enough to sacrifice my time and my money and maybe face rejection potentially? I don't know if I want to do that. Some of us may be feeling like, yeah, I know the work is there, but Jesus Christ isn't coming back anytime soon. Like, I don't really feel the urgency. I feel like there are other things that are more urgent right now that I need to take care of. And some of us might be saying, I don't know, it's just too hard, and I don't feel like I'm the right person to do it. I don't have a seminary degree. Pastor, you could do it, but I don't understand the Bible so well. I don't know if I'm good enough to be able to do this. So we have different kinds of reactions. Perhaps, I don't know what your reactions are. Maybe through our line group, you guys can send me what your reaction was. But I want us to think about that a little bit. Like, why the different reactions? And some of us, some of us were like, yes, I do believe this, and yes, I wanna do this for the Lord. We have different reactions. Why? Why do we have these different kinds of reactions? Maybe, on this side, there's this person that's like, I want to do this for the Lord. I see it, and I have compassion for these people. I really do care about these people's souls. I really want to go out and share with people. And then what they end up doing is they go to work, and they're just sharing with everyone, and they end up maybe neglecting their work because this is such an important and urgent matter. Some people end up neglecting their studies. I don't know. Some people might react this way. Why do they do that? If we were to look at a little bit more deeper, perhaps they're thinking, you know, Jesus says, pray, and they're like, I want to go and do it. And maybe they're thinking, I'm the one that's going to save these people. Whereas Jesus says, pray that laborers would go out to his harvest. God will be the one saving. But when we become so excited and we're so on fire for God's work that we end up neglecting other things and we end up hurting people along the way sometimes, Some of us have experienced this. Perhaps what ends up happening is that if you look at deeper what's going on the inside of your heart, is that it's because there's this idea that I'm going to be the one to save those people. What about on this other side? On this other side, there's all this doubt. I don't have the compassion that you're talking about. I don't feel the urgency that you're talking about. I feel like it's going to be too hard. There's just too much sacrifice. Well, let's think about that a little bit. For me, I faced a situation recently where I kind of had to struggle with this a little bit. So I was on my bike. I was riding my bike. I was taking my youngest daughter, Kara, to school. And we were a little bit late. And so I was trying to rush. And there was this one homeless person that I see pretty often. I always say hi to her. And then she comes out, and this one particular day, she's like waving her hand at me. And I said, oh, okay, I guess she wants to talk to me. And so I slow down, not breaking all the way, because I'm late. I got to take my daughter to school. I just slow down, and then she's like saying stuff to me, and she's not stopping. I thought she just wanted to say hi, but it wasn't. She wanted to say something more. So then I ended up having to stop, and I look back, and then she says, can you give me some money? I'm really hungry. I didn't get any food today yet. I said, and then in that moment, my heart was in conflict. Do I demonstrate the kingdom to this homeless person in this moment? Or do I rush off to my thing that is more urgent in my mind, to drop off my daughter? Because she's in preschool, right? And her being tardy is a big deal, right? No, it's not. It's not a big deal. But for me, I was like, I need to take her to school. And so I struggled in my heart. I fall into that way of thinking where my way is more important. The things that I'm taking care of is more important. And in some ways, if I were to think about it, in some ways for me, it is selfish. Because I think my way is more important than this person's needs. Now, I'm not saying drop everything and go and help people. But I think there is this proper way of thinking about how to go about bringing the kingdom to people. It's through our hard work. During our work times, when we work, we give it our all. When we come out of work, during break times, during lunchtime, or after work, we have that time to potentially reach out to our coworkers or to our neighbors. We have that time to do that. But maybe some of you guys are in the same boat as me, where you've constantly faced the struggle of, do I do what I need to do, or do I take into consideration, put on my spiritual goggles, take into consideration what Jesus sees? And it's very difficult for us. So what do? When we face these kinds of struggles, we cannot do it perfectly. We cannot expand God's kingdom perfectly. So what do? Well, the answer is, let's look to Jesus. Jesus said himself that the people are like sheep without a shepherd. And I want to turn real quick to Ezekiel chapter 34, because in Ezekiel chapter 34, there's this whole chapter about how his people, how he relates, how God relates to his people. His people are the sheep. And there were supposed to be shepherds that would watch over the sheep, but they continually failed. And this is what it says. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 34, it says this in verse 5 and 6. It says, so they were scattered, talking about his people, God's people. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. And so God says, look, my sheep are scattered. They're all over. They are harassed and helpless. And then in verse 11 and verse 15, it says this. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. And now in verses 23 and 24, it says this, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. He shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. What is it saying here in Ezekiel? Basically, when it says, my servant David, it's pointing to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus came from the line of David. There were all these prophecies in the Old Testament saying, my servant David, from the line of David, from the root of Jesse, will come a person that will save my people. And so Jesus Christ came. And so Jesus says himself, he's the one that looks out at the people. He's the one that has compassion for his sheep. He's the one that will go out and do the work and gather his sheep. It is his harvest. He says, I will do that. And so I ask you now, Jesus is saying, pray and be a part of this kingdom work. I will do the work. You don't have to worry about whether they turn to me or not. You just need to go and proclaim the kingdom and demonstrate the kingdom to the people out there. You go out. Their salvation is not in your hands. You don't have to feel that burden. And at the same time, I've come to save you. You yourself were a lost sheep. You yourself were harassed and helpless. But I've come to save you. And just as I have come to save you, go and spread the news that I will save others out there. And so Jesus tells us to be involved by praying. Start by praying for the people that are out there, for your neighbors, for people that pass by you as you're driving. Stay focused. But pray for those people that are passing by you. Pray for the person that normally you would want to honk at them. They're crossing the street really slow. Normally you would honk at them. But pray for that person as that person is passing by. Pray. Pray for your coworkers. Pray for your bosses. Pray for your employees. Pray for your students. Pray for your professors. Pray for your classmates. Pray for your children. Pray for your parents. Let's pray and pray and pray that God, that Jesus would send laborers into his harvest field so that the harvest can be brought in. Let's pray together.